Matt Nagel, inviting you to stay tuned for the next half hour for one of radio's outstanding dramatic productions on Proudly Hail. Proudly We Hail. And now another Proudly We Hail, one of radio's outstanding dramatic half hours, transcribed coast to coast in cooperation with this station and presented by your Army and your Air Force. From Radio City, New York, here is your host and star on Proudly We Hail, the distinguished star of the theater, school, radio, and television, Conrad Nagel.
Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Proudly We Hail. Our play is entitled Terror at Polga. The scene, mid-Europe. The time, well, it might be any time. The class, a strange assortment of frightened people. The story, a tale of terror. Our first act curtain will rise after this very important message.
The woman in the Air Force is a woman who has found that it's smart to serve her country. She wears the trim WAF uniform, and she has a good future and a good outfit. If you are between 18 and 34, go to your nearest United States Army and United States Air Force recruiting station and ask for details. Be smart. Do it now.
And now with your star, Conrad Nagel, in the role of Edward Stanhope, your Army and your Air Force present the Proudly We Hail production, Terror at Polga. This is a tale that Satan might tell if he told tales. For it is a story guided by the bony hand of terror and shrouded in the black cloak of madness. If you would hear it, if you would realize that man is not all-knowing, but a puny instrument in the hands of forces over which he has no control, then listen now to Stanhope. For although Stanhope is not Satan, he plays a principal role in this horrifying affair. There are things I remember about that first night, the most prominent being the disgusted knowledge that I was lost. I wild moments as well as my naked feet. There was no excuse for it. But somewhere in the gray autumnal dusk, I'd taken the wrong turn. Now, with the wicked moon for itself sweet from a ragged, tattered mass of racing clouds, I realized my surroundings were totally unfamiliar. The land, if possible, was wild. Banks of jagged, barren borders where nothing moved. First more practical man was turned back and found the right track. Being in no particular hurry and of a stubborn nature, I reasoned the trail must lead to somewhere. So continued on my way until the night chill cut through my heavy cloak with ease. I had just topped a small rise and seen the welcome lights of the village gleaming below when I heard the cry. Easy, girl. Easy, easy there. Like none I'd ever heard. A wild beast, surely. But I, 100 miles, could not think. I must admit that the present solitary and foreboding surroundings startled me. And thoroughly frightened my spirit and voice. My husband was broken down with a saddle pack of my only weapon was a revolver which I carried at the point in the traveling and went out of the way places. The moon blotted out again. Darkness was intense. This time, the cry was much closer. Myself on my husband's ship. The gypsy was gripped by a fear I could not control. She reared and shot off down the sail for the distant lights. It's safe. Girl, it's all right. Perhaps she transmitted her fear to me. When it came again, this time just imagined, I did not try to hold her, but gave her a head and let her run. As the moon shot through a rent in the clouds, and I looked back toward where we'd been, the trail was empty. A great clump of bushes by its side seemed to be trembling wildly, with more than the force of the wind.
Good evening. Well, what is it? What are you staring at?
I beg pardon, my dear. You came in so quickly, you started.
Now, you have accommodations?
Oh, yes, my dear.
And someone to see to my horse?
At once, my dear. Anna, go on. There is a horse to be looked to.
This fire helps. What town is this?
It's Bulgar, mein Herr. You became lost?
Bulgar. Where is that? I'm on my way to Klagenfurt.
Klagenfurt? At least 20 kilometers.
No. That's what I get for coming across the moors after dark.
Across the moors? Mein Herr jokes.
Well, mein Herr does not joke, and mein Herr is hungry and thirsty. Well, what's the matter?
It is dangerous to be on the moors when the light is gone.
It is. There's goblins there, aren't there, Bozoy? But my name is Linton. How do you do? Have you ever come to this out-of-the-way place?
How do you do?
Oh, this is my sister, Judith.
How do you do? My name is Edward Stanhope.
How do you do, sir?
English? Welsh. With a name like that?
Yes, with a name like that.
But I always say...
What
are you crossing yourself for? What is that animal, anyway?
Bozoy's goblin.
What was it? A horse?
Not an animal. Not a human. Something from hell.
What are you talking about?
Look at him. He's turned green and he's shaking like a leaf.
Laugh if you like, my head. But when you learn what that cry means, you too will shake with fear.
As hard as I was, sleep would not come. I lay in my bed listening to the wind beat against the skin. My mind framed back scenes of the evening. What joy is bubble round face, gray with fear, mumbling rubbish about werewolves and legends of old. Linton, thin and aristocratic, making fun of the monster. But all the same, listening to the crowd sound again. And Judith, the sickle, fair, lovely, saying nothing. The wild gray eyes steadying intently as I told what had happened to me on the moors. There, some of the townspeople had come in, and in that guttural patois which I could not understand, they talked excitedly to Bozoy and his silent but obviously terrified wife. Whatever this thing was, it will jump to such an unearthly cry, the people of Bozoy did not take it lightly. Their village was far off the beaten track, and their superstitions were deep and rooted in the dim past. Lincoln laughed at their fears, and I too should have taken them with him. Still, I would have heard the cry close by. And as Bozoy said, it sounded like something from hell. Finally, I fell into a troubled sleep, deciding that in the morning I would organize a hunt to get to the bottom of this business before going on my way. Hey, good morning, Herr Bozoy. Did you sleep well?
No, I slept not at all.
This animal, or whatever it is, why are you so afraid of it?
Have you ever seen a man with his throat torn out?
Huh? Yeah, bad as that?
3 years ago, we heard it in the night. The next day, they brought in Tavo. He was a farmer. It was horrible. Butchered.
What did you do?
We hunted during the day for a week. We found nothing.
Did you use hounds?
The hounds would not hunt. Have you ever seen a hound that would not hunt? They knew.
Well, what happened then?
Nothing. Nothing until last night. Now it will happen again.
Whatever this animal is, it can be caught. But I've done a lot of hunting. You can gather some of your friends. I'll leave them. Otherwise, I'll have a look by myself.
Admirable, but I'm afraid a great waste of time and energy.
Oh?
Herr Stanhope, this is Dr. Horwitz.
How do you do, Doctor?
How do you do, sir? Dr. Manfred Horwitz. Please forgive my rudeness, but I could not help overhearing you as I came down the stairs.
You tell him, Doctor. He will listen to you.
I, too, have done much hunting. And I happened to be here when the unfortunate incident occurred 3 years ago. I assure you our hunt was thorough, and we found nothing at all.
Well, is that any reason not to try again now that this thing has returned?
Not at all. It would be good exercise. I may even join you in this sport. Good morning.
Who is he?
He is Dr. Horwitz. He comes every summer and stays until the first snow. A very learned man.
Oh, there, Stanhope. An early riser?
Well, I thought I might go goblin hunting.
Capital idea, may I join you?
Of course, I thought you might want to.
Oh, no. What's this all about?
What is this? To leave a cut.
What did he say, man?
They found Tavo's son. His throat has been torn out.
All the rest of that day, until darkness fell, Linton, myself, and everyone in the town who could hunted the moor. The hounds did not hunt. They would not hunt. They went wild with fear when they brought them to Tower Farmhouse on the edge of the village. But as the learned got the men to look and predict it, they found nothing, absolutely nothing. The darkness fell, you see the blanket of fear settling in over the village with it. All doors would be bolted this night, and no one would venture outside under any circumstances. Linton, the sister, and the doctor and I had our dinner before the fireplace, the silent, shaken Borzoi attending us.
What do you think we can do, Stanhope?
A wolf. There are no wolves in these parts, Stanhope. And wolves travel in packs?
Yes, I know that, Doctor, but have you ever heard of a lone wolf, a wolf that travels alone, bigger and more vicious than the rest?
And who once every 3 years pays a visit to Polgar, huh?
Perhaps you have a better explanation, Doctor.
I might, my dear, but it would sound fantastic to you.
Well, now, you're not going to tell us it's one of those Borzois, werewolves.
And what is a werewolf, sir?
A chap possessed by demons, turns into a wolf, or some such nonsense.
Mm, that's not quite right. Lycanthropy is a form of madness in which the victim believes he is a wolf, and so assumes the characteristic of one.
What?
You really think so?
I certainly do. This is a small village, and anyone going around thinking he was a wolf would be noticed quick enough.
Oh, but this is a madness that only possesses its victim at certain times. Otherwise, it's perfectly normal.
And you're saying that's what we've got here?
No, I do not. But I say it's a possibility, because I believe anything is possible.
Well, that's very broad-minded of you. But you seem to scoff the idea of a perfectly logical explanation.
A man with his throat ripped off is not...
Yes, I suggest we change the subject.
I beg your pardon, Miss Lee.
Help reminds me of a play that I saw...
Well, that night, the wind banged my thunder woke me out of the deep sleep. I lay for a moment orienting myself, then realized that the shutter of one of my windows was making a racket. I got out of bed, across the moonlit room. When I was done, I stood for a moment, looking out at the scene before me. The smell of snow in the air, the great bank of clouds was raising into the east to blot out the moon. The land looked naked and cruel in the moon's cold white glow of the moors crouching above the village. As I started to close the window, my eye caught a movement at the building's foot. The wind was blowing, certainly, but it was not choppy. Yet the thick vines that grew in the food on the wall were trembling there unnaturally. From where I stood, what was causing the vines to grow was not in my vision. But as I watched, the shaking continued mounting upward, a fearful conviction seized me. Someone was climbing the far end wall. I ran to the bed, grabbed my revolver from under the pillow, and then I looked down the hall. For I knew who was looking through me, the destination was climbing.
Miss Linton! Miss Linton! Open the door. Open the door. Quickly, it's Edward Stanhope. Miss Linton, wake up. Wake up.
What is it? What do you want?
Please, Miss Linton, open the door at once.
What do you want?
Open the door. Get out of the way. Look. Look there.
Conrad Nagel, starring in the role of Edward Stanhope in the Proudly We Hail production Terror at Polgar, will return in just a moment for the second act.
Who's the smartest woman of the year? Why, the woman who puts on that new blue uniform of the United States Air Force. Smartly tailored and neatly groomed, she's being seen more and more around the nation these days. She's smart in another way, too. She started a great career as a wife, one of the women in the Air Force working side by side with the men of the Air Force. She wears her Air Force blue proudly, with a sense of personal accomplishment, because she's doing a needed job in administration, in radio as a technician or operator, in the medical service as a technician, or in hundreds of other interesting fields. More and more young women, 18 to 34, are finding out that the smart thing to do is to get the complete details at the nearest United States Army and United States Air Force recruiting station, to put on the smart blue uniform worn by the women in the Air Force. How about you? Can you qualify?
You are listening to Proudly We Hail. And now with your star, Conrad Nagel, in the role of Edward Stanhope, we present the second act of Terror at Polgar.
Feels like snow.
Yes, when it comes early, it's first.
Hadn't we better turn back? It'll be dark soon.
Oh, you're getting cold?
No, the exercise has kept me warm. I've enjoyed it very much. Well, you're so kind.
Oh, nonsense. I'm lucky, that's all.
Well, how do you?
Well, I have such a lovely companion riding with me.
I'm lucky, too, that you're a light sleeper.
Now, you must try to put that from your mind.
Oh, how can I? If you had not been awakened soon, that much.
It won't happen again.
Well, I'll not speak soundly until we're back in England.
You're leaving Friday?
Today, if I had my way, but Richard must have time to finish his sentence.
You have a very talented brother, if I'm any judge. He showed me some of his work, you know. He captured the stark beauty of these moors, not just their look, but, you know, their feeling. You go with him on all his trips?
Oh, no, this is the first. It's been a delightful summer and fall, up until last night.
Miss Lenton, Judith. You know, I'd feel much better calling you Judith, if you don't mind.
I don't mind. Edward. All afternoon, you've been trying to steer my thoughts and our conversation away from what happened last night. I want to talk about it for a moment. Is that all right?
Certainly.
Do you have any idea who or what it was that was trying to break into my room?
We don't know who it was, Judy, because I didn't know him well. But we do know it was a man.
But how do you know that, really?
I trust my eyesight. Although I didn't get a very good look at him last night, in the darkness, I could see his shape. And if that isn't enough, there were footprints below your window.
I know, but I can't help remembering what Dr. Herbert said. A form of insanity that makes a man think he's a wolf.
Judith, did you ever hear of a wolf who could climb a wall?
No.
An animal killed both Tybo and his son. A four-footed animal. Whoever decided to break into your room last night took advantage of the fear this animal had created. He'd like us to think there was a connection between himself and the killing.
But then you must be mad, too.
Could have been a thief, you know, but didn't realize your room was occupied.
I don't think you believe that.
Well, Judith, regardless of what I think, I assure you, you can sleep in safety as long as you're here. Forewarned is forearmed. Bozoy is seeing to it that the inn will be under watch until we get to the bottom of this.
You know what I believe? Regardless of your logic and your attempts to assure me, that whatever it was that killed that poor Tavo boy would have killed me, too, if it hadn't been for you.
Judith, if I believe that, I think I'd tell you. But there's one reason above all others that makes me sure. There's no connection. 3 years ago, this wolf, well, let's call it a wolf, came here. Stayed for one night, made its kill, and went on. 2 nights ago, it came again. Now, on both occasions, its cry was heard by everyone in these parts. Last night, there was no cry. You didn't hear it. No one else did either. Now, assuming that our wolf is a madman and still amongst us, stands to reason he would have been heard last night as well. I imagine, if there is such a thing as a man thinking he's a wolf, he'd have to sound like one. Now, that makes sense, doesn't it?
Seems true. What does Dr. Herbert think?
Well, Dr. Herbert is so full of his own knowledge that I haven't bothered to ask him. And anyone who could sleep through last night's proceedings is a dullard in my book anyway.
You don't like him very much, do you? After all, Richard didn't wake up until Bazaar came running upstairs.
Well, I don't know about your brother, Bazaar, but I do know that Dr. Horry, with his fine black beard and close cropped hair, seems to be an authority on everything known to man and God. And I have never taken to authorities.
Look, you can go through the village.
Well, Bozoy, so the good doctor has left our midst.
Yes, mein Herr. It was very sudden. A letter came, and he said he must be in Vienna by next week.
Mr. Lerner, gentlemen.
Always he has waited before for the snow.
No, I don't think he missed it by much.
Tonight there is no wind. There will be fog. The fog is bad. It hides.
Ah, good night for goblins, eh, Bozoy?
It is not a joking matter. Dinner will be served in half an hour.
I'm for bed. I suppose you two would like to be left alone anyway. Can't say as I blame you.
Mm, you're so tactful, Richard.
Very strong of discretion once, but never.
Oh, no.
Seems as though we were wrong, Miss Dano.
Excuse me.
Where are you going?
I'm going hunting. Care to come along with me, brother?
No, you can't go out there. It'll kill you. The both of you.
Bozoy. Come in here. Judith, Bozoy will take care of it till we get back. I'd stay down here by the fire. Try not to worry. We'll be all right.
Please, it's madness to go out there now. You don't.
Get your gun, Lenton. I If this is far enough, whatever it is we're hunting is out for the kill. We've got to assume that. Also, that it's cunning and won't stumble into a trap.
Yeah, this fog doesn't help. Treacherous.
Yes, what breeze there is coming from up there off the moors. If it's up there, it'll catch the scent of whichever one of us is closest to it. If it's below, the same applies.
You won't separate?
Yes, but not far. Look, I'll move up the trail to that clump of bushes there. You stay here. If the fog grows no thicker, we'll be able to keep each other in sight.
Oh, we played bait for each other, eh?
Well, something like that. You're game.
A Linton is always game. Providing he doesn't become dome for the wolves.
As Linton and I sat in our respective positions, time lost all. We were caught in a fog-shrouded limbo in which the cold quickly numbed the hands and feet, while the deadly peril we faced put a ball of ice in the stomach and made the heart beat like a tom-tom. Although the moon's rays could not actually penetrate the fog, it gave it an unearthly glow, improving our vision, but at the same time lending a more awesome aspect of the scene. Bait from the trap we were, waiting for what I know not. As the cold grew more intense, the fog thickened, and what breeze there was seemed to fade away altogether. Linton's body became a formless outline. Still, we remained as we were, unmoving, waiting. We had not heard the cries until we left the inn. And with so much terror for the creature to roam in, I realized our chances of bagging it were very slim indeed. And then it happened. As a breath of wind sprang up and tore a ragged rent in the curtain of fog swirling about my companion.
Behind you, Linton! Look out! Linton! Linton! Are you all right, man?
Meat for the platter. Clawed me up a bit. What in the name of Satan was
it? Here, let me have a look at you. I messed up your arm and your chest. Listen, you think you can make it back to the inn?
Aren't you coming?
I did it, Linton. I'm sure I did. I'm going after it. The wind is coming up. It'll blow this fog away.
Well, did you see what it was?
Here, let me help you up. You can get back to the inn. I take you back, but I don't think there's a moment to lose.
I'll make it all right. Thanks for saving my life. First Judith, now me. And you'll have to become a part of the family. Be careful, stand up.
Quickly. Even so, it would not have been difficult to follow the trail. The earth was hard packed, and the blood lay on it, in an ugly, thin line that led upwards and onto the moors. I knew it must be heading for the swamp where it could take cover in the wild bracken. When it cried out, I stopped still. My eyes opened, and I found dark, luminous form floating in a disjointed gate close to the ground. The moon's rays caught it for an instant. It flashed over the ridge line of the hill. I felt the hair tighten on my scalp. And I ran on. I ran on all the harder. When I reached the top of the hill, it was lying there in wait. Some instinct had warned me to move cautiously, so I was not taken completely by surprise.
Much. Judith's a good nurse.
I came to say goodbye.
You're leaving so soon?
Yes, I must. You know, I hope to visit you both in London as soon as my business permits.
Make myself scarce. Did they recover the...
No. No, it fell into the quicksand below the hill. We can be thankful for that.
Stanhope, it wasn't a four-legged wolf, was it?
Well, why do you say that?
I didn't get a good look at it when it jumped me, but I never knew a wolf that wore a suit of clothes.
They must never know that here. And you must never tell Judith.
I had no fear. Well, sir, Dr. Hervick was right, eh?
Yes, Linton. He was right. Horribly right.
But
Who was it, then? Did you ask that, Lenton? Oh, no. Yes. I mean the doctor meant that Pettis will never return to foul the moors of Polgar again. And may the good Lord have mercy on his soul. He was the wolf, Lenton. He was the wolf.
Conrad Nagel will return in just a moment with a word about next week's show.
Registered nurses, the United States Air Force Medical Service offers you a great opportunity to serve your country and further your own career. Yes, you can become a commissioned officer. You receive postgraduate training in anesthesia, operating room management and technique, nursing administration, and other related fields. Nurses with special qualifications have trained as flight nurses at the famous Air Force School of Aviation Medicine. For complete information, write to the Surgeon General, United States Air Force, Washington 25, D.C. I'll repeat that address. The Surgeon General, United States Air Force, Washington 25, D.C. Do it now.
This has been another program on Fozzie We Hail, presented, transcribed in cooperation with this station by the United States Army and the United States Air Force Recruiting Service. Fozzie We Hail stars Conrad Nagel. Sarah at Polgar was written by DeWitt Cox. This program was produced under the supervision of Charles and Rogers Productions and directed by Charles Wilson. This is Kenneth Banghart speaking, and here again is your host and star, Conrad Nagel.
Well, friends, we hope you'll accept our invitation to join us for Proudly We Hail over this same station next week. Our play is entitled Folk Tale. It's a story of early America. I know you won't want to miss it. So until then, goodbye.